What if you were to listen to an internationally acclaimed, multi-award-winning illusionist, and he had something far more to say than, "Watch this trick"? Rick Thomas is that performer, ready to go far beyond his magic and far beyond your imagination as he shares secrets regarding our dreams. Dreams that can become reality. The future belongs to those who believe in the strength of their dreams. Dreams pass into the reality of action. From the action stems the dream again. And this interdependence produces the highest form of living. Join Rick and his co-host, award-winning broadcaster Tammy Trujillo, for Nothing Happens Until You Dream. Indulge your mind and take a journey never to be forgotten. A journey connecting all of our dreams as we chase them together.
Rick, we are back. We're going to be working in a moment. We're going to be talking about Chapter 32, The Power of the Mind. But as we got ready to go here today, the title of that just kind of struck me because, well, we've been in people's minds, but we've kind of disappeared.
Yeah, we vanished for just a short bit of time. Life got in the way. I tell people that, you know, you got to follow your dreams and everything about it. And at the same time, sometimes the dreams have to be put on the back burner for a moment.
because you have to survive, right?
And deal. Yeah, survive. You know what? There is something that I've tried to preach and live by as well, is you want to follow your dreams. Mm-hmm. But you need to take care of family. You need to take care of your responsibilities as well. And your dreams may be plan A, mm-hmm. but you always should have a plan B, a plan C, and a plan D in case that plan A is being challenged, because you need to fall back on something and just make sure that all your responsibilities are met. And sometimes it needs to just be slightly put to the side, but don't stop.
No.
Don't continue to push on and never stop attempting to try to make your dreams a reality.
Well, I think we've all had that kind of reality. What's that line? The best laid plans go amok, or something along those lines. Because you know exactly where you're going, you know what you're doing, you've got your plan, and then something just crashes in on you and you have to take a time out and deal with that. But we're back. But this became rather prophetic. You've got to tell the story.
Okay, so I reopened the show in Branson this past week. And, in Las Vegas, often you get unruly people watching mm-hmm. the show. They're loving the show, but they are slightly inebriated and they can yell at you. They're saying it in a positive way. They're just having a good time, right? Mm-hmm. I find it more in the Vegas atmosphere, very rarely in Branson. Liqueur is not flowing as it does in that part of the country.
Understood.
And I say that in a positive way, that, you know, to each their own as far as enjoying the show. That's not the issue. It was what a gentleman just yelled out in the middle of the show. And I'm like, wow, I feel like I'm back in Las Vegas. But what he yelled was, "Rick, we want more podcast. Get out there and give us more podcasts."
Wow.
I said, "What?" And I didn't quite accept what he said.
Yeah, I didn't click.
The first go around, I said, "What are you saying?" He says, "Your podcast. You need more podcast. You've stopped the podcast for a while. We need more pod." And I thought, okay, that's amazing. And so that being the case, Tammy and I have had a couple chats here and gotten things back in order. And I think we're good to go.
Well, I do believe that nothing is a coincidence.
You know what it was? It was actually a touching moment for mm-hmm. me. It was showing that the outside world actually cares.
Well, yeah.
Sometimes you're out there chatting away and we're doing our own thing mm-hmm. and people are listening.
Yeah. Sometimes you don't know that there's anybody listening or watching, or the message is getting through or resonating. I get that with radio a lot because I have no immediate interaction. And it's just nice when somebody comes and said, "Hey, I heard that," or "That was a great story," or "More podcasts," because you know that what you're hoping is happening is, "Hey, wow, really? Actually happening."
I'm just thrilled. I'm thrilled that we're having this chat session and mm-hmm. It'll get me through my week.
Well, let's talk about the power of your mind. That's where everything starts. And I know with you, everything that you are and everything that you've done were things in your mind when you were very small kid. All of this has been bouncing around in there for an awfully long time. Your mind's a pretty powerful thing.
It is.
Yeah.
And it's even more powerful when people tell you you can't do it.
Oh.
And yeah. And you want to prove them wrong.
Oh. You know.
Fact, that's a positive thing, right?
Yeah. Anybody tell me I can't do something, it's like, oh, you don't know what you've just done, sir. Stand aside.
I'll tell you something that's to start this off as well. At the end of my mansion of dreams, every evening, I don't want to tell people what the show is before they see it.
Right.
For those that haven't, I'm very proud of the accomplishment and Mansion of Dreams and what it is out there. So if you get a chance, come out and see the show. But at the tail end, I close off the Mansion of Dreams. There's a curtain that at that given point in the show closes the Mansion of Dreams and separates the audience from the mansion.
Mm-hmm.
And I say there's a purpose for this. There's a reason. I really truly believe that you don't need a mansion for your dreams to come true. It starts with a wish, a want, a desire, and the willingness to work for it. So no Mansion of Dreams. It's gone. We don't need it. No special effects. And what you're about to see, I believe you'll remember the rest of your life.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the beginning of the end of the show. And I share that specifically because as far as people thinking they need everything in line for their dreams to come true, the stars need to be in line.
Mm-hmm.
They have to have enough money in the bank. They have to have this. They have to have that. I can tell you now that you will never, ever be ready for anything. And it doesn't have to just be following your dreams. This could be people waiting to get married, people waiting for a child, people wait, whatever it is in your life, you're never going to be ready.
No, there's no such thing.
So you go for it. You go for it without fear.
Mm-hmm.
You go for it the best you can. And I fear, you know, I'm worried all the time. I hope that I don't fail, but I still, I just go for it.
You know, you said the word fail. It's that fear of failure quite often that stymies you from making that leap. I talk with students about that. And it's like, okay, only two things happen if you try. Really? One, you fail. Okay. So now you learn and you pick back up and you restart better than before. Or, and this is the preferred one, you succeed. So with one, you're no worse off than you are right now, probably. You're pretty much back to square one. Or you're way over there where you really wanted to be. It's not like you're going to end up, you know, falling off the edge of the earth and your life is done. So you're either where you are right now, no harm, no foul, essentially, or you're where you want to be. But nothing happens if you don't try.
Yeah.
Nothing.
Well, bravo for that. And the power of the mind, talking about that as far as the chapter goes, because, you know, I have a saying also in the show. It says, nothing happens until you dream.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And
name of the podcast.
And that's the podcast statement.
Mm-hmm.
But if you don't act upon those dreams, then they actually don't mean nothing, or do they?
Mm-hmm.
And this is part of the power of the mind. I can tell you that you do need to act upon your dreams. You do need to act upon what your wishes, wants, and desires are. But today is about the power of the mind. And in spite of you being lazy and or not putting everything into doing it, the positive attitude is going to be positive in your life. And that's what I'm going to share today.
Well, I know we need to go back in time to when you were a little kid and all of this started to materialize. You had a belief. And I think a lot of little kids have this belief, but they very quickly find out, nope.
Well, first of all, I just want to tell you up front that the whole show is about following your dreams. And Mansion of Dreams is a framework that represents our life. I designed the Mansion of Dreams as though it was our actual life, and it represents our successes, our failures, and everything in between. And when the mansion is destroyed, that is an example of how in life we have to turn around and pick up the pieces. So that in itself, what I'm really excited about today is we've come full circle. Today is truly about how important the Mansion of Dreams is, that story, and how important believing your thought process and where that takes us. So I tell the audience throughout the show, your dreams are important to you. They're speaking to you. You should follow those dreams and just constantly go in that direction. But yes, as a little boy, I dreamed that I could fly.
Oh.
Now, what's great about the world of magic, I truly, truly believe the greatest thing, if that's the right way to say that word, mm-hmm. that a magician can present is to float or to fly. It is yes. the greatest. It is the greatest magical effect you can do. There are some amazing, beautiful things in magic that are aha moments. Mm-hmm. But when you float or fly, that is above and beyond amazing. You know, that's where people invented how to fly in airplanes mm-hmm. and helicopters. And, mm-hmm. and the people had a dream to fly. And for that reason, look what they've created.
Oh, no kidding.
But the fascinating part about it is the reason why it is so amazing is because I believe that everybody at some given point in their life wished they could also float or fly.
Oh, yeah. One of the first things you see as a little kid when you're outdoors, you see the birds. And you see what they can do. And it's like, oh my gosh, how did they do that? Why can't I do that? And like a lot of kids like you and like my husband gave it a shot off the roof.
Really?
Yeah, he tried to. Didn't work.
So in my dreams, I had a vivid childhood. I had the capability of dreaming one night before and the next night dream the same dream. I could put myself into that dream. They were truly vivid. And for an extended period of times, I was flying across this world in my dreams. I really believed that as I leaned forward, I would lift off the ground dream that I could fly. Now, the word dream is, I play that lightly at the moment because I believed I could fly. I had a hard time telling the difference between the reality and the fantasy. And even when I was enjoying the waking moments of my life, I really felt I could fly. And the differentiation between reality and fantasy smacked me in the face when I actually literally got on the roof of parents' home and jumped off the roof.
And?
Because I thought I could fly. And I flew. Can you believe that? I flew all the way down. All over the city, straight to the ground.
Okay. And, well, wait. Hold on. How were you once you, we'll say landed?
Oh, how was I?
What'd you break?
well, there was a numbing effect. Nothing at that point was broken, but I was pretty numb. And I was extremely distraught. I was very upset.
Yeah.
I went back the next night going, okay, why didn't it work?
I got to look at this more closely.
Go back to my dreams. Right.
How old are you here, Rick?
What do you think? Probably 10 to 12 years.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking about, 10.
Yeah. It was, that's that fascinating time in your life. When I was starting my magical career, I started when I was about 7 or 8 years old. Mm-hmm. And there were often a lot of friends of mine who also attempted magic. That's a time in our lives that we truly, fantasy is, it's fabulous. The world around us, the things that we believe, mm-hmm. that we enjoy as a child, that we lose when we become adults.
Right. Wish we didn't.
It saddens. Yeah. It saddens me, right? I'm right in the middle of my production. I always tell people, I said, I never wanted to grow up. I never wanted anybody to tell me my dreams were impossible or that it couldn't happen. I guess I'm one of those children that just never grew up. My mom even says, what are you going to do when you grow up? I haven't figured that out yet.
No, but I love it because, it's so funny when you're a kid. Most children can't wait to be an adult, all those adult earmarks. I'm going to drive my car. I'm going to go on a date. All these hallmarks that shove us toward adulthood. My mom used to say the same thing. She said, Tammy, you're going to be an adult a long time. Slow down and be a kid.
Oh, that's fabulous.
Yeah. And of course, I didn't listen because it's like, no, adults are cool because you get to do this and you make decisions. And boy, when you get to be an adult and you pay your first electric bill, you're kind of like, this is terrible. I'm writing a check for something I can't even hold in my hand. This is adulthood. Yeah. I'm going back.
I saw a short video recently. A mother had taken her two daughters out to grocery shopping. And she said, here's the cart. You shop. Today it's on you. And these are teenage girls. And again, reality hit them in the face when they went up to the counter and realized they couldn't afford what they put in their basket. And the one girl said, really basic, straightforward, hits home. Wow, I don't want to be an adult.
Oh, I second that emotion. I think about this with my students, when they start their complaining. I'm thinking, okay, you don't pay the rent, you don't pay the utilities, you don't pay the groceries. Mm. All you got to do is worry about your part-time job that isn't super strenuous. And I don't mean to knock it. It's a big deal when you're that age. Please.
And it's important because it's going to make them who they are as life goes on.
Yeah.
Right.
But still, in the larger picture, you got to do your homework. You got your part-time job and you're worried about, you know, your boyfriend, girlfriend, significant other because you guys had a little tiff. And I'm thinking, oh, you know, let's just trade for one day. I'll worry about all that stuff. Here's my list. Yeah. So I haven't grown up either. I still have my toys and I play and, you know.
Yes, you do.
I do.
Yes, you have your collection. You're amazing.
Well, I don't want to grow up either because I kind of had to circle back and realize it's not that much fun being an adult. So if you can drag a little bit of that childhood in like you've done, like I've done, I think that's key to having a good life. I really do.
Well, I'm hoping everybody listening to the podcast that your dreams are still vivid now. The question is why are dreams so vivid? Why are they so amazing that sometimes when you wake up, you have a very strange transition between your conscience and your subconscious mind? You wake up and you think, wow, is that real? Oh my goodness, it's real. And then you take a breath and go, oh my goodness, thank goodness it was just a dream. So here's the question. Why are dreams so vivid? Why is the mind so brilliant that we have a difficult time telling the difference between reality and fantasy when we wake up for a few minutes? My problem was my fantasy went on throughout the day. I never actually woke up, right? I kept dreaming I was amazing and I could fly.
Well, let's take it back a sec, okay? Because I know people are going to ask me this. All right, so here you go off the roof and you have a hard landing. Nothing's broken. You're stunned and more disappointed than anything else. You know, you didn't just cave, though. You said, okay, I got to go figure this out.
Well, I may have had some lessons learned.
Yeah.
But it didn't stop me from realizing that the mind is a powerful thing and that it can control the directive in your life. That's what I kind of realized. I realized that, wow, if it's so powerful that I believed I could fly, then there must be a part of the mind that is so strong that it convinces us that we are, I wouldn't say better than you are, but make you a better person. So if you don't mind, let me share with you my example. I am not a doctor in this. I am not a professional in sharing this information with you, but this is what I understand. I understand that there are two parts of the mind. You have the conscious mind and the subconscious.
Right.
And when you, and this is the simplest example, let's say you're awake, fully awake, and you're looking at a tree, beautiful tree in front of you. Your mind, your awake mind, is telling you you see a tree because you see a tree.
Right.
Your subconscious mind also sees a tree, right? Okay. And it says you see a tree. Now, if you in your mind think you see a tree, you being awake, viably awake, know you're thinking you're seeing a tree.
Okay.
But your subconscious mind can't tell the difference between reality and fantasy.
Ooh.
And because you're thinking you see a tree, it believes you see a tree. It thinks you're seeing a tree. So when you wake up from your dreams and you think it is real, it's because that mind, that part of your mind, believes that it's real. Okay. So it can't tell the difference between the reality and the fantasy. Now, this is where I find it fascinating and why your dreams are so amazing. If you think you're seeing a tree and your subconscious mind really believes you're seeing a tree, what happens when you continually tell yourself you are a better person than you think you are? What if you say, I am amazing. I can do anything. I can follow my dreams. And you continually think about your dreams over and over and over again. Now, you know you're thinking about your dreams.
Correct.
What is your subconscious telling you?
It
is believing without a doubt that that's who you are.
Oh, I like that.
So it, in my mind, truly makes you a better person. And that's the same even with who you hang around with. You are who you, know, you are what you eat. You are who you hang around with. Mm-hmm. You become those kind of people. So why can't it be the same way mentally? Having a positive mental attitude will make you believe that's exactly what you are. And it sends you in the right direction, whether you like it or not. Soon, at some given point in life, you're going to become that better person. Your dreams can become a reality because your mind already says you're there.
I like that. That makes good sense. Got to practice that.
Practice what? Dreaming more? I'm going to go to bed right now. Good night.
That I could do. Just keeping that thought of whichever one you choose to do, I'm great, or I can do this thing, or I can be whatever I want to be, you know, keeping that in the active part of your brain so the subconscious starts following along here. Because that's what you need to do. You got to keep that thought in there.
Yeah, you got to keep it in there. And it really does. It changes you. It forces you. I mean, literally, that your mind, that mind, that amazing mind that works, basically forces you to be that person that mm-hmm. you keep thinking you are. And that's why I jumped off the roof. Mm-hmm. You know, I couldn't tell the difference. I really believed I could fly. Well, and you know, there's nothing wrong with it because we enjoy our lives today because of the dreams that people had before us.
Right.
The dreams of freedom, the dreams of invention, the dreams that are now reality. Everything you enjoy is because somebody had a dream.
Mm-hmm. True.
And
yeah.
they believed that dream could come true. Mm-hmm. Yes, you did it in reality, but they slept on it. They mm-hmm. thought about it constantly.
Mm-hmm. I
can tell you in my show, literally, there are effects and amazing things that have happened because I've woken up in the middle of the night and had an aha moment and said, oh my goodness, I have figured it out. And I did it in my sleep.
Yeah.
I did it in my sleep.
Yes.
There is an illusion in my show where I make my assistant fly or float in the air. And as I fly up to her, I make her vanish in midair. And I had such a difficult time trying to figure out exactly what I was going to do with both of us high in the air
uh-huh.
and making her vanish. I can tell you it was probably about 4 or 5 a.m. in the morning. No kidding. I sat up and I said, I've got it. I've
Whoa.
Got it.
Whoa.
I've got it. And I scratched it down. How many times have we said, put a pad of paper next to your bed?
Absolutely. You have
Why?
To.
Yeah. Why? Because your subconscious mind is phenomenal.
It's speaking. Yes.
Yes, it is amazing. Mm-hmm. And so often we do amazing things and so many things we've learned in the dream state. So that is critical. And the reason why, and that is why I repeat it again, your subconscious mind cannot tell the difference between reality and fantasy. And whether you think it or you do it,
mm-hmm.
that mind believes you did.
Wow. You know, learning to harness that, if we really learn to harness that, think of the possibilities.
I don't want to just put a pad of paper next to
you.
And I, as time has gone on, those dreams that were so vivid in my life, mm-hmm. Are less and less. I still have a vivid mind.
Mm-hmm.
You know what it is too? I've gotten so busy and life is so, you go to bed with so many troubles on your mind that you barely have time to think.
Yeah, I think your mind is just too tired to explore maybe. Yeah, I have those nights when you wake up the next morning and sometimes I realize, gee, I went to sleep like 2 seconds ago. Nothing happened while I was asleep. You know, I do have some very vivid dreams too. And mine involve people who aren't here anymore, and I'll have conversations with them.
Oh.
Oh, yeah. I'll have conversations with them, and I love it because I'll wake up feeling like I actually just got the treat of them being back
mm-hmm.
for a couple hours. And that mm-hmm. feeling, it doesn't last too long, but it's just like, oh, my God, they were really here, and I got more time with them. And so when those nights when I don't have any dreams at all, and you're right, I think as we get older, less come, I'm disappointed because that's the only time I can be with those people any longer because they're not here.
I miss the times also when I was able to dial it in and go back into a dream that I had the night before. I'm telling you, I had control over my dreams.
Oh, I wish.
I don't now.
Oh, I wish I'd had that even once because I could. Oh, sometimes when I'd wake up, it's go, darn, I woke up. And now I'm not talking to that person anymore. Oh, I wish you could dial back in. That'd be cool.
Well, sharing your thoughts about people that have passed on mm-hmm. and or those that are no longer in your life and they revisit in your dreams. Mm-hmm. That again is that perfect statement of how real that the mind is. The part of the mind that we don't think does much of anything is actually the part of the mind that guides our life. And it's important. It's important that that part of your mind never forgets.
Right.
And it never forgets. I know we forget. I know our state of mind can wane. It can challenge us. And as we age, life can get in the way. But there's just an amazing part of your memories. There's a part of that dream state. And we wish we could harness it more. I don't know what the percentages or numbers are, but I've heard that we actually use 10 to 15% of our brain.
Heard that too.
Productive brain. And, mm-hmm. and if we did so much, it would be so much more. So there's a lot of potential out there. Mm-hmm. And I think more than anything, that this chapter was indeed specifically, in spite of you thinking that it's not working, it really is. And staying positive,
right?
Staying positive is critical to your mental stability and your success as you continue to follow those dreams.
Mm-hmm. Got to ask you something. Because you do accomplish that flying dream every time you're on stage.
Yes.
You do it. And I've seen you do it.
Uh-huh.
For those of us who will never get to do that, mm-hmm. what's it like?
At that moment in my show, one thing that I really, truly enjoy are the faces of the audience throughout the show. Mm-hmm. They don't get to see everybody's looking at me, but right. I'm looking back at everybody else.
Uh-huh.
I see everyone's face. And in the world of magic, it is more often a look of being stunned rather than people screaming and applauding because mm-hmm. they look at it in a strange way. You'll do something and they'll go, what? And the whole audience will go, what?
Uh-huh. No,
you know,
it's
and
true.
They're totally confused. However, when I float or fly mm-hmm. up into the air, I go from the ground to right up to the top of the proscenium. In this particular theater we're in is like 25 feet, something like that. Within an instant,
yes.
within a second,
yeah,
right?
Fast.
And every single person in the audience at the same time, of course, all their heads rise as I fly in the air, but every person's mouth drops. I have to hold it back and not laugh. In a positive way,
uh-huh.
you've got to understand what I see. When I see every person's mouth at the same time open and their head rise, it is an astonishing moment for me. But at the same time, it's extremely entertaining. It is such a moment because you know that everybody's going, oh my goodness, how I wish I could do that.
Oh, no kidding.
And so I'm very lucky in that respect, but it is a blast. It is a fun moment to see. And that's what I see. And it is everybody going, what?
Now we know what you're thinking when we watch you do it. But is it still a kick for you? Because you know how you do it. Okay. Mm-hmm. You know it's coming. You know right when it's going to happen in the show. I know you cause it to happen at that moment. Is it still a kick?
That's why it's a kick.
Ah.
Because I know it's about to happen.
Okay.
And I know it's going to go through everybody's mind. It's going to be.
This 10-year-old kid gets his wish every night when he's on stage. Come on, Rick, that's cool.
Oh, and you know what? I'll go out after the performance mm-hmm. and I'll ask people, say, what'd you like in the show? Usually little children, I always say, so what was your favorite part? And so often they'll say, oh, when you flew in the air.
Yeah.
But
yeah.
every so often, it will be so funny. Child will say, the dog.
Oh, well,
I liked the dog.
Well, yeah.
And you would say the same thing.
Of course.
Yes, the animals. I'd like the animals.
Of course. In Vegas, but it was always, let me see one of your tigers.
Let me see one
of the yes.
tigers. So those are fun moments as well. It's like, I just flew in the air and you like the dog? What are you talking about?
I can explain that because the animals are something that we can comprehend better.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Because we're familiar to those. The other thing, I think a lot of people are still trying to figure out, did he really do that?
Yes.
Did he really go that high? Because 25 feet in the air, so we got to equate that. What is 25 feet in the air? Because most of us haven't done that. That's like four 6-foot guys standing on top of each other. So that'll give you a visualization of how high that is. frankly, that would scare the holy crap out of me.
Well, yeah.
Is that the highest you've
gone? If you ask me if I look down, the answer is rarely. I look straight out at the audience.
I literally
fly up in the air and I look out over the audience and there's a massive grin on my face. I can see how much they're enjoying the moment.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
And as I fly back down to the ground and step forward, it is a very special moment. In fact, that is the effect I present at the tail end of the Mansion of Dreams when I say, you don't need a mansion for your dreams to come true. So no mansion, no special effects. So when that curtain finally opens back up again, the entire mansion is gone. There are no sets. There's no scene. There's nothing. It's pure emptiness. Complete emptiness, just a blank empty stage. And that's why it's probably so effective is because I tell people, you don't need a mansion for your dreams to come true. It is a wish, a want, a desire, and the willingness to work for it. And then I fly. Like boom.
Okay, now this is something, again, since 10-year-old Rick made his first flying debut of sorts, how did Tara feel about flying the first time? Because she flies in the show.
Goodness. You know, it.
Do you remember?
I would say that apprehension.
I bet.
It is. They have to believe in me. They have to trust in me. Literally, she has to know that what I have created and how I ask her to float in the air, she has to believe as well. She has to know that she's in good hands.
Right. What an experience the first time for her, because, you know, she's not a magician. She's an incredibly fantastic, beautiful dancer and joins your show before you two started to date and marry. And all of a sudden you're saying, okay, well, I need you to fly up here in the air. Yes. Woo, I can only imagine that first time.
I'm going to admit that we all have our comfort zone, and and that I can handle. But if you asked me to jump out of an airplane, I'd say,
No.
So there are certain things that each of us can do, and I applaud everybody's dreams and what they want to do in their life and the things they choose to do. I'll stick to being a little closer to the ground.
Oh, I think so.
And and let those who really want to fly jump out of an airplane.
Wow.
And, you know, for a few seconds, they are flying.
Yes.
I'll tell you something else that I have experienced that I truly loved. And if you ever get a chance, I believe that, yes, you can jump out of an airplane and you can fall towards the ground. And for a few seconds, you can believe that you're floating in the air.
Yeah.
But the greatest place you can experience floating in space is scuba diving. And when I was in Guam, performing out there at a place called the Sandcastle, I got my diver's permit and I went diving constantly, a few days a week.
Wow.
I'd be out there. And when you get to a point, probably about 50 feet deep, and and you can't see below you, it's dark and there's no bottom, so to speak.
Oh my.
And you're far enough from the surface that it's just barely or slightly almost out of sight, and you hover and you stop in inner space and you just float. To me, that is one of the most amazing experiences I've also had in my life. And that is very close to what it is to float or to fly, because you're completely enclosed. It's a comfort zone. You know, you're in your wetsuit, you're warm, you're cozy, and you're in this space where there's just nothing around you and you are flying.
I'd be so terrified.
No, it's not. Okay, you might terrify you, but I'm trying to give you an example of what it is to fly or float. And that is one of those experiences. So everybody go out there, get your diver's permit and jump in the water and good luck with that.
I'll pass on that one. Thank you. That just crosses the line into the, I probably better not do that.
Well, there's little fishies down there that you have to worry about. I know there's, you know, I've met a few shark in my life and things like that. But as far as experiencing,
yeah.
I just trying to give people an example.
It'd be
you're
cool.
You're not going to experience it jumping off a roof.
No.
It's
no.
too close to the ground.
Yeah, there you go.
Slightly experience it jumping out of an airplane for about 30 seconds, right?
Yeah.
And if you really want to experience it, you can either go into outer space and fly around as the astronauts do, because that's truly floating. Or
oh,
flying.
Yeah. Yeah.
And there's only a handful of people who've had that opportunity.
Right.
Or jump in the water, go down about 50 or 60 feet and hover. And there you go. Now you're floating.
I'm going to take you at your word for that, because I can't see myself doing it. It's a little too much. A little too much. One other thing we should talk about, we talk about doing things that are a little scary. We got to talk about the economy, because boy, in the time we haven't worked on our podcast, things have changed dramatically.
Yes, they have. In fact, that was a part of the point of bringing up this with these two daughters and their mother and
yeah.
the grocery store.
Yeah.
I'm not going to be an adult. I'm not doing this.
It's harder than ever to be an adult. My goodness. Yeah, you go to the grocery store and you're in for a very unpleasant shock, and you go to the gas station. I don't know. What is gas in Missouri right now, Branson?
It's actually about $3.19 or
$3.20. Oh, no, no,
yours
no,
is
no.
Slightly higher in California.
Slightly. I just paid $5.37.
Okay, yep. Here's what I don't understand about fuel in California. The fuel is brought in off the West Coast. Right. And then you get it before we do. And then it has to be trucked all the way across the United States. And our fuel is slightly less than yours.
Barely
and
$2.
I'm not quite sure. There's an economic problem there. I'm not quite sure how that all works. But
Well, I do know that here in California, from the last time I did a story on it, we pay something like 60 cents a gallon in taxes. That's a lot. And now, we are about to switch to our fashionable summer blend, which is a different blend of gasoline. It was created back when we had smog problems to create less pollution. And it kicks in probably between 15 and 20 cents more a gallon because it's more expensive. Yeah.
I'm silent.
I know.
In all this, because I don't want to make this podcast political, but
no.
I have a few things to say.
I know. And we're not going to go there. We're just talking straight up numbers. But it's a fact. It's a fact. I went and filled up one of my Jeep Grand Cherokees, and I never thought I would ever see the day that I would spend $100 at a gas pump. It was just shocking, and I didn't even fill the darned thing. So, I mean, the economy is crazy right now. Without getting political, you've got to somehow survive it. You've got a great plan.
A great plan.
You do have a great plan.
I do.
Don't you?
Well, yes.
Yes.
That's diversify.
Yes.
That is protect yourself. You know what? Everybody I share this with becomes great friends.
Mm-hmm.
They're not just acquaintances, but as we strive to follow our dreams together, our relationships become tied together in ways I never imagined. But I share with many, many people constantly how important it is to prepare your life savings in something other than the bank.
Yeah.
Even Bitcoin currency. I can honestly tell you I have a few dollars in that. I understand, because diversity is important, whether people want to believe that's real or not. I can tell you something that is real. In fact, I can tell you something that is only real, and that is precious metals, gold and silver. And if you don't have any of that in your life, you have got to, and I know it's so tough to take your hard-earned dollars and turn it into a gold coin or some silver. Buy yourself 10 ounces of silver, a silver 10-ounce bar or something like that. It's a bit of money, but I think a 10-ounce bar of silver is around $300 right now. And the amazing part about it is when you take your money, which we call a fiat currency, which means it's not real, so to speak. It's like monopoly money. Your money is only worth what the government tells you it's worth. And right now it's worth about 3 cents on the dollar.
Eesh.
It's nothing. If you take that money and you buy silver or gold, when you take that fiat currency and buy it, you have just bought real money. You have just bought something that is tangible, that is actually worth what you just spent the money on. Mm-hmm. So you're taking money that doesn't really have much of a worth and buying something of great worth. And now you have real, tangible assets, real precious metals, gold, silver. It is what the entire world rotates around. Mm-hmm. You may not see it. You may not know it. And I'll tell you flat out right now, you know as well as I do how challenging the banks are right now, what they are going through. Mm-hmm. You think that the problems of one or two banks going down is our issue? No, we have banks that are really worried. Mm-hmm. Do you know what they're doing? They are buying gold in droves. They are backing up what they have with real tangible metal. And I don't know why. I can't tell you why gold and silver and other precious metals, platinum, whatever it may be, mm-hmm. that people have embraced. And that is what we believe is real money. Mm-hmm. But we have.
Yeah.
Throughout all time, mm-hmm. it is the only thing that has stood the test of time. And for that reason, we put worth on it. And the worth that we put on it is unchanging. Sure, you may think that gold fluctuates in price and silver fluctuates in price. It only fluctuates because our dollar fluctuates. It always holds its value. And if you want me to share with you and help you wrap your head around it and why it's assisted and helped my family, then I would love to chat.
Well, you really will get to talk to Rick about this, and it's really easy. You just go to mansionofdreams.net/wealth, little form to fill in, and you're going to get a phone call.
And there is a video. I'm just typed it in myself just for fun. Wow, that is amazing. Okay, so it says Beyond the Magic. Okay, and there's a form on the right side. It gives your first name, your last name, your mobile number, your email address. You put what you want. If you want me to just email, I'll do so. And it says Beyond the Magic, and there's a video that you can watch, three-minute video, sharing with you why. And right underneath it, I'm going to tell you now, and those people who are listening to this podcast now, you need to jump online and check it out. My favorite quote from the great Harry Houdini is, my brain is the key that sets me free. Mm-hmm. Again, his quote was, my brain is the key that sets me free. How apropos, right?
Perfect.
And us talking about our mind and how strong it is. He had an extremely vivid imagination and a strong mind and became amazing in what he did. But he realized how strong the mind was. And I would just love to share some information in that respect.
Easy enough. Again, mansionofdreams.net/wealth. Thank you, Rick.
You're awesome.
Back at you.
Thanks for joining us this week on Nothing Happens Until You Dream, starring Rick Thomas and featuring Tammy Trujillo, and is based on Rick Thomas's best-selling book, The Tiger Whisker, available on rickthomas.com. We hope you enjoyed this episode. We'd love for you to subscribe and leave us a review wherever you get your podcasts. And check us out on Patreon for exclusive members-only content. Stay up to date with Rick and Tammy at nothinghappensuntilyoudream.com. Remember, you must follow your dreams, not only for yourself, but for the rest of our future. We'll see you on the next episode.